Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Hannity joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's Ain't No Sunshine by the late, great Bill Withers in honor of a solar eclipse that I gather is happening today.
It is happening today. As you are frantically doing other things, you should know that it'll begin at 12:37. Max will be at 156 and the end at 314. It's supposed to be partly cloudy. And so there you go. We will get 97.7%, which I gather big difference between 97.7% and 100%. I have heard from people on the road to Jonesboro who say the traffic's hellacious.
So what do you do if you don't have special glasses? You just don't look up?
This is one of the things I was telling people not to look up. And then Charles said, that's bad information. But there's lots of stories.
I trust Charles. So, Charles, if you're listening, if you want to tell me what I'm supposed to do, like right. I trust you.
Well,
you
know? But there's, like, I was just reading a story that said in 2017, when we had the last one, 100 cases of people who looked into the sun and their eyes were permanently damaged. Now, it's only 100, and 150 right. million people, you know, looked, right, right, evidently right. looked so. But I don't want my eyes to be permanently damaged.
I don't think that's worth the risk. Even those odds, I'm not
so,
into that.
But anyway, he said I was bad. If you were looking, if we had the total eclipse, for the minutes that it's the total eclipse, you can look at it because there's right. no sun
right.
by definition. But we don't have it. We got 97.7%. I'm not an eye doctor. Anyway, you were there Saturday, wrote a lovely column about it. I've tweeted it out. By the way, do you think they, like, the game was so excruciating to get through? Like, was there any other way to do that? I think in the end, this was the way to do it. Pows was at halftime, but that would have been rushed.
Yeah, I feel like the halftime thing's too rushed. I think this is the way to do it. And at one point, I was standing next to Hollinger. Like, when it happened, I was sort of behind. I gather you were probably in front of it from your photos or whatever. Uh-huh. I was behind it on that press row. And I looked around, and, like, it's pretty full. And I said to John, like, I would say, like, look at all these people who have stayed, but why would you even come to begin with if this is not what right. you're here for, you know?
I was worried.
Like, I'm surprised more people didn't just show up in the middle of the fourth quarter, you know?
I think Jeffrey said, knowing what he knows, he would have showed up in the third quarter.
Then you missed, like, the little video segments along the way.
But they, like, of the video segments, the Dylan one, which we played, was great.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there was anything. Like, there was some nice little moments here and there. It did remind me why they need to fix the sound system. Like, honestly, why they're fixing the sound system. Because you want to hear every word of what Mike is saying, and you can't really. So that, I thought they did a fine job throughout. But, yes, it was. And then I wanted it to. It was pretty full. Like, it was pretty full.
Yeah.
And then they kept flashing the signs saying, please stay, please stay. But you're exactly right. It didn't feel like anyone left.
There's no other reason to be there, really.
There was no other reason to be there.
What I want to know is who came to that game and then left at the end of the game.
Sixers fans. There were Sixers fans.
Yeah, well,
there.
Yes. That's fine.
It.
But otherwise.
Otherwise,
like,
it would be ridiculous
right.
to leave at the end of the game. We're just waiting. We're slogging through this game.
I wasn't even paying attention to the game. I was sitting courtside, like, you know, going through the transcription of Pau Gasol's pregame right. stuff and picking stuff out of the. That's literally what I was doing. Yeah. I wasn't even paying attention to the game. I know at one point Brandon Clark dunked.
And this guy named Timmy Allen played.
Yeah, apparently not Tony's little brother.
Not, so, but there you go. All right. So, what struck you about the ceremony?
I'm trying to think beyond like what we've both written.
Yeah, but everybody hasn't read our columns. They're right. premium. Go ahead. So,
yeah. You know, I mean, the main thing was the main thing, and it was the obvious main thing, and so we both sort of led with that. I tried to do different stuff after the lead
right.
that you weren't going to do, but the story was the story, and the story was that it was the core four reunion, 100%. And that on Marc Gasol's night, it was about those four together, and that was fitting
for Marc
Gasol, the way Gasol thought and the way he conceived the whole operation. And, you know, it was accidental we didn't get the core four reunion for Zags. It wasn't like it was intentional. It was Mike Conley had a game that night, and Tony Allen had legal problems and was like, you know, couldn't be there. Otherwise, we probably would have gotten it then. But there is something about, you know, the way Zach played and the way Mark played that sort of made that fitting, that Zach has the throne. And you can even go back to the two movies they made. The movie they made about Zach was a celebration of Zach. And the movie they made about Mark was about the history of the franchise with this person as a through line to see the history of the franchise. And one disappointment I had, I know people have talked about like the current players not sticking around, and I was so focused on the stage, I wasn't even noticing. I did think about it afterward. I'm like, were they there? I didn't see them. I didn't know. That's sort of a real thing I don't want to make a lot about, although I do think it's a real thing. But I was sort of disappointed Jaren wasn't on the stage.
Right.
Because Jaren was
played with him.
Did play with them. And one of the sentences I had in my column was that Mark is sort of, and Mike Conley is too, maybe in a different kind of way. But Mark, from the very beginning, because he was a fan, Mike and Jaren are the guys who, like, from a player standpoint, really connect everything. But Mark is the through line of, you know, from the very beginning to the present, he's been part of it in some way or another, which is something he's talked about, we've all talked about. But Jaren was the one piece that connects all three eras with Mark, you know, because you had stuff after the ceremony. One of the things I noted, I tweeted out, if I took a photo, tweeted out, is Mike Miller walks up to Pau Gasol and they're talking, and that's the Hubie era. Then you look over and it's like Rudy and Kyle and Mike, who were sort of like the era that was supposed to be but wasn't, that sort of young and hungry reconstituted era. And Jaren was the one part that connects all of that still to the present because he was there. So I wish they'd had him on stage with Rudy Gay and with Ben Odry and all that.
It is interesting because a big part of it was, it was about the core four. But it is true that afterwards where you saw everyone hanging out with everyone was glorious. And I took a picture that sort of went crazy just because Tony wasn't in it because everyone says, where was Tony? I mean, he was wandering. He was doing what Tony does. But because there's Darrell Arthur and there's Kyle Lowry, and it was like a mini history of the Grizzlies in one sort of evening. It was really fun.
I had to me the biggest bittersweet note, and I didn't mention this in anything I wrote, but from my vantage point, I was sort of behind it, and so I was sort of seeing people's backs a little bit or seeing whatever. So I was looking at the Jumbotron a lot, and when they were doing the four of them sitting in around with Pranica stuff. A lot of the shots, the way it was framed, you'd look over somebody's shoulder, you see Rudy Gay. You see Rudy Gay behind them in the shoulder. And you could sort of see in his face sort of like they're telling all these great stories about how it all came together and everything. And Rudy has such a particular place in that and not in that.
Right.
That it's real bittersweet. It's got to be real bittersweet
for him. What is Rudy thinking? I mean, good for him to be there and to be part of it because he wasn't considered –
last night I was packing up my house. I pulled a couple crates from the back of the attic, and I'm going through them, and it happens to be a bunch of old Memphis Flyers of cover stories I wrote, not just Grizzlies but other stuff. Right. But I flipped through the Grizzlies stuff, and I tweeted out a photo of one of these. So one of the photos we ran, and this illustrator Greg Cravens for a few years there did great illustrated covers of all my Grizzlies stuff, and we did one that was based on a Fantastic Four comic book cover, and so it was like a Four for the Future was what we had it set up, and it was. Marc Gasol was the thing, the big muscular thing, and, and people joked at the time because the actual character in Fantastic Four is a woman, but Mike Conley was that character, and Zach Randolph was, I can't remember which one he was, but the other was Rudy Gay. And that was the four. These are the four core players for this team at the onset of what became the Grit and Grind era. And even when Tony Allen was yelling Grit and Grind, that wasn't like immediately embraced as like, this is what it's called. It took a little time. But at the dawn of that era, those were the four core players of the team. It was Rudy Gay, not Tony Allen. And what ended up happening was different.
So Rudy, and again, I want to go back, but Rudy, the first series, was hurt, right?
He got injured late in the season.
Which is why they went and got Shane.
And that's why they traded for Shane. And so Rudy was there. When you watch at the end of the game, when they all come out and they have the huddle, Rudy's there, but he's in his arms in a sling. Right. He's wearing street clothes. So Rudy was on the team for all of that, but didn't play a game in the playoffs. And then the next season, Zach gets hurt. The season's delayed because of a lockout.
And that's the year.
In December. Zach hurts his knee. Rudy is really the guy on that team. He's leading scorer on that team. Right. And by the time Zach comes back, he's not really himself. So they go into that playoff series against the Clippers where Rudy Gay is the go-to guy.
And they lose.
And they lose. And he's taking a lot of shots and shooting a low percentage. And they lose. Then they come out the next season, and Rudy's back again, and they're great. Like they're humming, and they're playing great, and then the offense starts to bog down, and then the reality of the financial situation and the luxury tax ahead sets in, and they trade Rudy midseason,
deadline.
And they go to the conference finals after that.
The best moment when they appear in the tunnel?
Yeah, I think so. The first time you see them all together, standing in a row, and then they sort of come out. Yeah, I think that's it. And, you know, and the stuff in the round was interesting, you know, because you get into, this sometimes happens with people, like we have good friends who was a couple in Memphis when we were a young couple in Memphis in our early mid-20s. And they were back in town a couple years ago, and we hadn't seen them in at least 5 years, maybe six, seven, 8 years. But we went out to dinner, and I had an event with one of the guys who was in town who had written a book, and I emceed or hosted this little Q&A that he'd done. And we went out afterward for dinner at Bari with me and him and our wives, who were all friends. And, like,
It's the same.
Yeah, our friend Melody remarked, it's like we pick up right where we left off. It's like you know,
it's like
the next day from 10 years ago. It's like the last 10 years didn't happen. And so that you fall into that sort of, these guys literally had not all been together since 2017, as we learned. Right. And they fall into the rhythms, and they're reminiscing, and they're ribbing each other, and they're joking, and they're, you know, taking the, I'm trying to not use profanity, but like, you know, whatever, like, you know,
right.
whatever. What's interesting to me is that Mark and Mike and Tony are all sort of ribbing each other. Oh, yeah, I got you second team all defense, second team, right? They're doing all this stuff. Nobody's taking a shot at Zach, like, ever. Like, there was no, like, oh, Zach, man, had to cover for his defense, ha, ha, ha. Like, there's none of that. None of that happened. You sort of got a sense that was the rhythm of the time.
It was like
Zach had his issues, but you didn't talk about that, you know?
Tony definitely was the butt of the jokes.
Right.
His own jokes, too. He said, when I take those ill-advised threes,
right,
Mark would remind me that I made my money on the defensive end. Yeah, I thought that was a great moment. The fact that Mike, as Mike said later, he said, Mark wouldn't have allowed this to happen if I couldn't be here. It wasn't some, like, It was great that Mike was there. Mike flew in, landed at 6 o'clock, flew out immediately after and played in Los Angeles last night.
Right.
But Mark said I wouldn't going to – he said Mike wouldn't have allowed it without me there.
Right.
Which is sort of – and then to see them – to see what it meant to them, to see them taking their phones out.
Well, it was initially –
really sweet.
This was hinted at but never outright said. There was an initial date for this was going to be in November. And it was going to be a date the Timberwolves were in town.
Timberwolves, right, yeah.
And it was for that reason – and then it ended up getting pushed back, as I understand it, because Mark wanted to wait till his kids were out of school.
I see.
And it ended up being this date, and that's why the Conley thing became somewhat up in the air, you know, because it was a date he was not playing, and so, you know, you're able to make it happen. But initially, it was scheduled to be a game against Minnesota because Conley would be here
for that.
Yeah.
I thought a couple other things, and I mentioned them in various pieces, were – when I asked Mark what playoff game meant the most to him or what series or whatever, the fact that he answered the first win.
Right.
That's the answer of someone who was with them from the beginning.
Right, like, right.
Those first three series, he was there for those, even though he wasn't playing. It was a Memphian's answer.
That game to me represents the pivot point between Marc Gasol fan and Marc Gasol player.
Right.
That is when the two things hinge together.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So that was striking. And then I just thought it was just lovely that the family came for the week.
Yep.
You know, and went to Shelby Farms and went to the zoo and went to Iris, I gather, and went to, like, I don't know that they, like, Powell talked about afterwards, we should make this a weekly every year. I don't think they will likely do that.
Yeah, you always talk about stuff you're going to do and you never do it.
Right.
Speaking of getting together with old friends, I wish you could do this again next year,
right,
and then you don't
do it. You never do it.
It's the same thing.
I
wonder about the Powell stuff.
Yeah.
I think he probably doesn't have as much of a bittersweet. Because the thing about Rudy Gay is Rudy Gay has stayed connected to Memphis and loves Memphis, and he's, you know, I think he has family connections and whatever. Right. More than Powell does, probably, honestly. I bet Rudy's been in Memphis more times since he left the Grizzlies than Powell has, not including games that you play
right,
as an NBA player.
Right.
I bet Powell doesn't have as much of a bittersweet undercurrent to it for him just because of the success he had
out
later.
So well. Like,
right.
So Powell was at, like, it.
But I wonder if there's a little bit of a tinge of, like, they didn't really, a lot of people didn't like me that much, even though I was right, like, the best
awesome
player the city'd ever had, basically, you know, at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's probably some of that. It was obviously, one of the things that came out in Michael Blevins' terrific documentary, and Mark finally watched it, by the way, Saturday morning, he said.
Yeah, he said he had said, when I asked him about it the day before, he said he was going to wait till he was on the plane on the way home. Right. And I guess,
but then I guess he watched it Saturday.
Right.
So it came out, and we've talked about it here, how much Powell tried to get Chris Wallace and the Grizzlies to go get Mark. And for one reason or another, one reason is because Michael Heisley wouldn't pay $500,000 to get the second round draft pick or for the deal. That was for the deal.
There were two times where they apparently, they tried the draft in which Marc Gasol was drafted. They were trying to trade for a pick in the draft to take Mark. And there's actually video of that in the war room.
Right.
But then the $500,000 thing is later on. It's like the next season.
They were trying to get him.
When the Lakers had his rights. Yeah.
And so you do wonder about this alternate universe where they would have, acquired Mark and paired him with Powell. Who knows how that would have gone? What would there would ever been a Zach? Like, what, you know, probably not. Like,
right.
But Powell was asked about it. I think Mike Sadie asked about it. Have you ever thought about what could happen? And Powell, I think, quite appropriately said, "Well, hey, we don't really deal in what ifs." But then it worked out well for everybody. And it obviously worked out brilliantly for him. Won a title. And
the other thing he said in that answer, there's another thing he said, which for us in Memphis, we think of that as a big what if. Powell and Mark playing together. He made the point, we did play together for the Spanish national team.
Exactly. Yes.
It's not like the experience of playing together is something that they never got. They didn't have it in Memphis.
In a way, it's even more special. They got to play together for Spanish national team.
So it's not like what would it be like for us to play together? They know that.
And then I don't think he would have traded his Kobe era moments like that was spectacular. He's in the Hall of Fame. He was, he's an icon in LA. Does he live in LA?
I think he lives in California at least.
Yeah,
I don't know where specifically.
At least.
Because he married an American woman. Married a Spanish woman.
Yeah.
That's a lot to do with it.
Andy Dolich once, and Andy Dolich recently, and he said he reached out to Powell, and Powell immediately said, "Oh, let's get together." So, they're both in California now. So I think Powell lives.
When Powell came in and sat down for his press thing, and I looked it up because I mentioned it, like he's 20-year-old, first time he sat down and talked to Memphis, he's 43. He didn't seem 43. He seemed like 65.
He totally did.
He seems way older than his age.
He seems like he's commissioner of Eurobasket.
Yes.
Didn't he? Like that's what he seems like, sort of, yeah. Really. But anyway, it also, he made the further point that for Mark, it worked out because it created space for Mark.
That's right.
For Mark to become the player he was here without being Powell's little brother.
Well, and then the other thing that came out of that, it's right up there with the Dylan, like, you called me a fool for a full year. It's the Cesare Trebanski strain.
Oh.
Where he said that, when Mark was in high school, would ask to come to Grizzlies practices and would say, "Hey, pal, I think I can take Cesare Trebanski," who was a third-string center, short-lived third-string center on the team. That's pretty funny. I was not expecting a Cesare Trebanski reference over the weekend.
Yeah, it took a long time to get there, but I thought it lived up to the moments. And now we'll have Tony, I presume, next year.
Yeah, I see.
His number will be retired. And then whenever Mike is retired, his number will be retired.
Yeah, maybe another. Mike may play two more years, so we may be waiting three years on that one.
And those will be different, obviously, right? We didn't.
What I wonder, let's say the Wolves win a title this year. I think, a lot of us are going to root for the Wolves to win a title for Mike Conley. He's got pressure now. Is he going to put grit and grind in his championship ring? I think he's not.
No, I don't think he has
not,
to. I don't think that's required. All right. Oh, onward to the Grizzlies, by the way. They got four games left.
They do, somehow.
They have four games left. They've got San Antonio at home this week. Then they're at Cleveland. Then they got the Lakers Friday?
I think Cleveland next or San Antonio?
Cleveland next, whatever. Yeah, and then they've got the last one is Denver. The reason I was bringing this up is I don't think they can afford
a little four-game winning streak to cap off the season.
They can't afford to win two of these.
No.
Because right now they're seventh from the bottom, and Utah is two wins behind them. Utah has Denver, Houston, the Clippers, and Golden State, and has lost 13 in a row, I think. Utah may not win another game. I don't think you can afford to lose two games,
I think they're doing what they can on the roster on this front. I got asked before the game on Saturday, I think Drew asked, could I name all 32 or 33 players it's been? And I said, yes, but I need a pad of paper.
Right.
And you have to take... I have to get credit for the Brazilian guy, and I have to get credit for the guard who shoots skyhooks.
You don't need to come for the actual names.
I need credit for those two things, because
you need 8 to 10 minutes or something.
Even right now, trying to think of it, I can't remember the guard who shoots skyhooks' names. It's like Xavier or Zaire, so I don't remember his last name. I don't know. He's the guard who shoots skyhooks. So if I can get credit for the Brazilian guy and the guard who shoots skyhooks, and I got a few minutes with a pad of paper, I think I could do it. But my point being, they're going to throw out the Brazilian guy and the guard who shoots skyhooks. You know,
right? There was some thought last week, like, okay, they're
sitting, I think he's Brazilian. Hopefully, I didn't get
that
wrong.
They're sitting everybody.
I know he's playing with the Mexican G League team, but I don't think he's Mexican.
Sitting everybody Friday because they're going to bring out their best players for Saturday. Nope. What did you make of Jaren Dunn, by the way? Do we think
I was thinking about this. Dez, I'm sure, is done.
Yeah.
I mean, Dez, I haven't had time to. Too busy with Marc Gasol to ask about it, but like they changed that injury report to like a real thing.
Right.
A bulging disc. I'd like to know a little bit more about that. We'll learn. At the minimum, we'll learn about that at the end of the season.
A week from today is the
So we'll get a lot on that then if we don't get it before. I don't know that Jaren's done, but I assume that Jaren's done. It is my assumption. I was thinking about that this morning relative to things I may or may not write, and it is my assumption that we won't see Jaren again. But I don't know that.
Right. Well, if you don't see Dez and you don't see Jaren, you've got...
And I don't think we're seeing Brandon Clark all four games, like I was saying. They're playing a back-to-back. He's not playing both halves of a back-to-back. He continues to look great, though. Man, he looks good.
He looks great. He looks great. It'll be interesting. I mean, if you got Wemby, you know, I'd happily take an 0-4, but I think likely like 1-3 here down the end, and then a week from today... we wrap this up. All right. If you haven't read Chris's piece over at the Daily Memphian, you should read it. Terrific about Saturday night. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian.